Market of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed, the authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. Okay, so before this, before that break, I mentioned that we're moving right to the issue of the day, and I also mentioned that we will be talking to a pharmacist in person of pharmacist Olumide Akintayo. Is Nigeria former president Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria, and we're going to be talking about the recent development coming from NAFDAC to stop alcoholic drinks in sachets and small bottles. So we're going to be looking at it critically. What exactly is the problem? What led to this development, and why are they looking to ban alcohol in small bottles? In small bottles and sachets. So the National Agency for Food Administration and Control expressed worry over the sale and consumption of alcoholic beverages in sachets and small volume glass and PET bottles. The Director General of the agency, in person of Professor Mochi Christiana Adeyeye, she lamented the negative effects of irresponsible alcohol consumption on public health and on the safety and the security of the public. And according to the statement issued with the support of the Federal Ministry of Health, their concern is that alcohol is also a toxic and psychoactive substance with dependence-producing properties. And what Adeyeye was saying is that she stated that uncontrolled access and availability of high-concentration alcohol in sachet and small-volume PET or glass bottles have been stated as a factor contributing to substance and alcohol abuse in Nigeria, with its negative impact on the society. Okay, so that is the current situation at hand. And come to think of it, when research was being done on this particular issue of banning alcohol in sachet and PET bottles, I discovered that Nigeria is not the only country that is looking to do this, and that Kenya in 2004, as far back as 2004, banned alcohol in small bottles and sachets, and Malawi in 2015, Cameroon in 2016, Tanzania in 2017. And there's been a whole lot of call. And I also discovered that so many people have also written articles in this line talking about the ban of alcohol in PET bottles and sachet, talking about how people have largely abused alcohol generally because of the availability. And if we're talking about alcohol in sachet, then we're talking about the high consumption, of course, because of the availability. You find that it is available on the streets, you find that it's available in stores, kiosk, and supermarket, and you know, you can easily just purchase it. And I saw in a particular article that they even have a name for it on the streets, and people call it voucher, that because of how much is available, and also because of the size, it's really small, especially for the alcohol in sachet. It's really small and it is easily accessible, and you can just buy it, and it comes really cheap, and you can just buy it and consume it. But we're talking about the negative impact of this on people generally, and let's talk about how riders, talking about the tricycle riders, motorcycle riders, bus drivers consume this at every go, and the risk attached to it. We see a lot of accidents on the road. Of course, we can say that it contributes to the accidents we see on the road, because by the time people consume and then they become intoxicated, and they begin to drive recklessly on the road. So we're talking about this in general, but looking at it, is will the ban of alcohol in sachet and PET bottles be the solution when we have other drinks, you know, available? And if they decide to ban it, will people also turn to other drinks or other substance to be able to get whatever feeling they get after consumption? We're going to be looking at all of this, and that is why I mentioned we're going to be talking to a pharmacist. Pharmacist Olumide Akintayo is Nigeria former president Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria, and we'll be talking to him in a bit. Let's go on a very short break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll be hearing the voice of pharmacist Olumide Akintayo Stay tuned.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
There are millions of Nigerians around the world who have distinguished themselves and are worthy of celebration. 60 Nigeria at 60 Diaspora Icons is a celebration of diaspora Nigerians who are worthy ambassadors of our great nation. Join Spirit of Nigeria Radio as we count down to the 60th independence anniversary of Nigeria by nominating your Nigeria in Diaspora icon who is flying high the Nigeria flag and shining bright the Nigeria light. Send your nominations to 16nominations at spiritofnigeriaradio.com. WhatsApp at +234 705 320 1010. Nomination ends 30th September 2020. 60 Nigeria at 60 Diaspora Icons. Celebrated Nigerians in Diaspora.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Okay, so, well, before that break, I mentioned that we're going to be talking to pharmacist Olumide Akintayo, Nigeria former president, Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria. Good day to you, sir.
Good day.
Yes, sir.
And good day to listeners at home.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Yes, you're welcome.
All right, so how are you doing today, sir?
Very well.
Okay.
Good.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, so we're talking about NAFDA, the latest development from NAFDA to stop alcohol drinks in sachets and small bottles. Hello?
Okay.
Yes.
I can hear you.
All right. Okay, so I've given the background talking about the National Agency for Food Administration and Control expressing their worry over the sale and consumption of alcohol, alcoholic beverages in sachets and small volume glass and PET bottles. And basically what they are saying is that they're talking about the negative effect of irresponsible alcohol consumption on public health and on the safety and the security of the public. So,
yeah.
Looking at it from the angle of a pharmacist, can you help do a little breakdown on how alcohol is detrimental to the health of consumers before we then streamline it to alcohol in PET bottles and sachets?
Yeah, well, if you're looking at the health implications,
okay, sir.
Perhaps the area you want to look at is the effects of, oftentimes, perhaps I should say this.
Okay.
Oftentimes, most of these brands of alcohol you find in sachet and these small bottles are very low-grade alcohol. They contain a lot of impurity. But even if they were very pure, when I say a lot of impurity, they contain a lot of methanol, which is actually a poisonous substance.
Mm. Okay.
But beyond the poison of methanol, alcohol, which comes as ethanol itself, can be extremely dangerous to health, especially very vital organs like the liver and the kidneys, even the gastrointestinal tract. Unrestricted and uncontrolled alcohol makes any consumer very vulnerable to gastrointestinal, to duodenal ulcer. Which can also cause, in extreme cases, can lead to perforation of the gastrointestinal tract. But of more severe consequences,
okay,
are incidences when you actually have cirrhosis of the liver, which actually tells you that the liver becomes fatty and it packs up. Mm-hmm. And you know what the liver does in the body. You know that the liver and the kidneys are the major carrying tools or clearance items you have in any normal human body. So when the liver and the kidney become dysfunctional, that type of person or patient becomes very, 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 very vulnerable to toxification of various dimensions, aspects and ramifications. So it is for any sensitive and sensible health regulatory agency, the mold of NAFDAC, which prides itself at safeguarding the health of the nation. It is only reasonable that at some point you have this type of strategic intervention to preserve the ideals of Gold Health within the rank and file of the citizenry.
Okay, thank you very much. You mentioned, well, even though you made mention of some heavy words, I want to believe that it's in the medical line. Yes, you know, but I was able to pick that the alcohol in sachets, specifically in sachets and PET bottles, they contain methanol, which is a poisonous substance, right?
Yes.
Yes, and it is dangerous to the liver and kidneys.
But yes, alcohol itself is dangerous for the
alcohol itself in general.
Yes.
Okay, but yes. I was looking at other alcohol, talking about vodka, brandy, whiskey, and other brands of alcohol, if I'm right with that particular statement. But is it that other ones are better or they are preferable when it comes to the methanol? Or can you just help shed some light if we're looking at other brands of alcohol? Yes.
You know, most of the ones in regular bottles, which are produced by distillers, even locally and internationally, tend to be better. They are better refined,
okay.
So you have lesser quantum of the impurities.
Okay.
Alcohol, but I gave a general warning, a general note. Alcohol as an entity, generally, is very dangerous to the human body when consumed in very large quantities.
Okay.
Now, the major problem you have with this sachet alcohol, or alcohol sold in sachet and bottles, is that oftentimes there's no control. Mm-hmm. There's unrestricted access. Everybody has access to it. Teenagers who normally should not touch it have access to it, even below 12. And so the abuse potential of these brackets of products is a lot more than what you have with the regular bottle. Mm. Don't also forget that the regular bottles are a little more expensive.
True.
Not just anybody will walk into any restaurant, bar, or shop to pick up Remy Martin's, for instance. This is very high-grade alcohol. But high-grade, as it suggests, when I'm premium alcohol, it's still very dangerous when you consume a large quantity.
Okay.
Because, like I said, it damages the liver irretrievably.
Wow. Okay. With irretrievably being a quote, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Okay. It brings us to my next question. Part of the interventions jointly agreed upon by major stakeholders is that no new products in sachets and small volume PET or glass bottles above 30% will be registered by NAFDAC. Now, do you think that this helps? Is the problem in the alcohol quantity or in the alcohol itself? Because we're talking about, I mean, I'm talking about the alcohol quantity, I'm talking about the volume percent.
Yeah. The challenge is actually, if you ask me, if it were an examination, I would have said all of the above. The danger, the potentials, the potentials of the danger that we talk about is inherent in both scenarios you printed. You know, even beyond our health, because that probably takes, that happens over time. The other safety issues we need to deal with. If you go to most of our model packs today, because like I said, there's unrestricted access to this range of products.
Yes.
All the towns, the car drivers who convey passengers locally and nationally, like when they drink these things, it impairs their mental sense of judgment. And that's why we continue to experience sometimes very high incidences of accidents, road traffic accidents, even domestic accidents, domestic violence, and all of those things. So a responsible government needs to deal with it. You also have the social security dimensions, the high vulnerability to criminality. In fact, these range of products incentivizes to criminality. From the high increasing rate of rape cases you hear about all the time, all, you know, the average criminal is not given to much violence at normal temperature and pressure.
Okay.
It is when they get into drinking this thing that they get very high and begin to conduct some of these things that eventually we brand as criminality in our society. So, like I said, sometimes it is better to tackle this thing from source. Can we begin to reduce unrestricted access to alcohol, marijuana, weed, drugs, you know, all of these things, and that continues to destroy a major, major area of national life, because our youths and adolescents are the major, major group that are affected, and I think government just needs to move against this vice.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So now it's clear that it's not even in the quality, quantity of the volume percent. But yeah, I was even going to ask another question. That what volume percent does alcohol become harmful?
Well, it depends on the. It varies from person to person.
Okay. On person to person or the brand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me talk now as a pharmaceutical scientist.
Okay.
Alcohol comes in, we look at it as volume in volume.
Okay.
When you say volume in volume, it means the alcohol gets straight into the bloodstream and begins to exert, as a matter of fact, a pharmacological response or therapeutic action.
Okay.
So there are people, and that's why you observe, there are people who will drink just a glass of a beer that contains 5% alcohol, and they're already very tipsy. They have problems. And you actually see people drink a whole bottle of whiskey or brandy, 75 cl bottle, containing 40%, and they can still manage to control themselves. So handling alcohol is actually a function of human character and variation. It's not something that is fixed, but generally it is acceptable to produce alcohol up to the range of about 40-48% in some instances in most markets for people to consume.
Okay.
Of course, the expectation is not that you should gulp a 75 cl bottle of 48% alcohol. I have actually seen in some clients bottles containing as high as 65%.
Yes, because I was going to mention that vodka is about 40% and above. Brandy ranges from 35 to 60.
Yeah. And I have seen Jamaican rum.
Okay.
At 65% in the UK. But like I said, anybody who consumes that on a regular basis, you can be very sure, will crash sooner than later. That is certainly a potential victim of cirrhosis of the liver.
Okay, thank you very much. Because now it looks like, it's basically about the person who is consuming the alcohol in the first place.
Oh, yes.
All right. Thank you very much for that clarity. Okay, let's move on to the next question. Research shows that alcohol in sachets and PET bottles are mostly consumed by people engaged in menial jobs. And you also made mention of drivers, especially the motorcycle, tricycle. So basically, people engage in menial jobs with the hopes that the drinks will stimulate energy and stamina, and it is accessible because of the portability and packaging, which of course it makes business sense. But how true is it that these beverages help stimulate energy and helps yield productivity? Because, and you made mention that when they consume it, it gives them some extra, is it extra courage now, or extra strength and extra confidence? How does that work with the body system?
You know, the alcohol is a drug.
A drug?
Oh, yes, it's a form of drug.
Okay.
Because, like I said earlier, it exacts the pharmacological response. You mm-hmm. also know that oftentimes when you want to take medication, mm-hmm. you are warned by your pharmacist not to consume alcohol. That's because many times the alcohol is preferentially absorbed relative to the medicine or medication you want to take. Mm-hmm. So, that tells you that to a very large extent, alcohol can also be classified as a drug. As a matter of fact, there are many medicines that are actually formulated with alcohol. They have an alcohol base. And so you must expect. But coming directly to your question about alcohol giving energy.
Okay.
It is not that it gives energy. Energy that is positive, energy that is useful. What happens oftentimes is that it induces an euphoria. You know, euphoria, in my own definition of euphoria, with regards to the subject being discussed,
okay.
is a false sense of excitement and satisfaction. A wild sense of excitement and satisfaction.
Okay.
So, it gives you a very wrong impression of who you really are, especially when it is at idle. And that this is what people misconstrue. So it's giving them energy.
Okay.
That is why a man who is under the influence of alcohol can begin to perform all sorts of magic. Mm-hmm. He will take on an aggressor who is twice his size. He feels he gets very violent, and that's why he can rape. Because at that time, there is an alteration in the normal mental balances and sense of judgment.
Okay.
So it is not like it's a delirium. It's deceitful. It gets you into a false mood and state that alters completely your person or your state. So it's not exactly energy. It's not some kinetic energy that propels you to do something useful with yourself. No. It is one that can actually destroy. And that's why I said it puts you into the groove of an unrealizable utopia. You just become a superman when in actual fact nothing has changed about your body. You feel you're a superman when nothing exactly has changed about you in terms of physical capacity and all of that.
Okay, this is this brings to light a whole lot of things, because actually my thought initially is that after the consumption of alcohol or whatever substance, there is this strength. I didn't know that it was all in, because from the explanation that you've given, if I am right, you're saying that it is all in your head after the consumption of the alcohol.
No, sure.
That you have some sort of strength.
That's why I said it's euphoria. From delirium. It's a false. It's a very false feeling in your sensibility, as far as your sensibilities are concerned.
Okay, let me lead this to another question, because according to findings, some research also showed that people who consume these drinks, they consume it with the aim of having extra energy for sexual pleasure. And some people have been able to prove, because I read an article and it was a research that was carried out in a particular state in Nigeria. And from the research, it was proven that people actually take it, most times men, or should I say the male gender, they consume it and then they have this extra energy for sexual pleasure or sexual activity to be able to go on for so long. How true is this claim, or is it also an euphoria?
Well, you know, alcohol, and that's why I said alcohol is what you can actually classify as a medicine.
Okay.
At some dose, alcohol can be a stimulant. When you get very high. That's the euphoria I talked about.
Okay.
and you can still manage it, you can control it. It's true that you can begin to, and that's why I use the word magic.
Okay.
Yeah, you can begin to do a few things that are quite out of norm on a normal day with regards to your true nature and person.
Okay.
And so it is right that alcohol, in some instance, can actually assist or aid sexual performance. Mm. And let me correct the impression that it is men. It is actually both sexes.
Oh, okay.
Because we deal, it's both. Mm. We deal with this matter on a day-to-day basis in the various pharmacy facilities. Yeah, a lot of interventions are actually made with regards to helping consumers of health in Nigeria.
Mm.
But, you know, on the flip side, if you take too much of alcohol again, rather than act as a stimulant, it becomes a depressant. Mm. At that very high dose, that's when you see people sleeping. You see them knocked out, passed out. I'm sure you have seen a few cases where people drink themselves into absolute stupor.
Absolutely.
And it crashes, the car, it crashes into the furniture, it sleeps on the bare floor or on the road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, they are vulnerable to so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having submitted that, you also know this is also the reason why people mix all sorts of apps and tell you your pain, it helps your back.
I was going to ask that question. It was going to bring me to that question as well.
Yeah, so for real, there are preparations that can actually assist to achieve all of that. But I want to caution, and the message listeners to actually take home is that a lot of the practitioners who indulge in mixing all sorts of nonsense, and I deliberately chose the word nonsense, is that these are not experts in herbal profession. You know, herbal practitioners also have their own recipes.
Absolutely.
Which are well balanced, which are usually formulated along some established protocols.
And even now, approved by NAFDAC.
We're not approved by NAFDAC.
Okay.
And this is a major misconception people have. NAFDAC will tell you, if you read any of those herbal substances,
okay,
what you will see is NAFDAC at best saying, yeah, this product has been evaluated and they can tell you it is safe for consumption.
Okay, so it doesn't mean but approval.
Oh, yes, it doesn't mean approval, because if you read in full, you'll also see that NAFDAC makes it very clear that it cannot vouch for the claims of the manufacturers or producers of that preparation.
Oh.
That is to tell you that things with regards to active ingredients have not been established, and so they cannot, and it's the same trend globally, not only NAFDAC. The FDA in the U.S. will not tell you an average herbal preparation will cure cancer or things like that.
Okay.
The best it will tell you is that the preparation is safe for consumption.
Mm.
But back to the subject matter. These ones that we are even talking about are not even they are not even vouched for by anybody. And they prove all sorts of guys. That's why you see some of them, they come as green, yellow, red, and all that. A lot of hazel dyes. Some of these hazel dyes are actually toxic on consumption. These are some of the reasons we continue to have higher incidences of renal failure, kidney failure, necessitating kidney transplant, liver collapse, end organ damage, and all of that. Because the level of toxicity and impurity associated with the consumption of a lot of those products is such that at any time, anybody who values his health needs to be very wary of what he puts in his mouth.
Mm.
So, we need to continue this type of advocacy, because people need to know. If you really need assistance in terms of enhancing your sex capacities and all that, there are medical protocols to follow.
Okay.
And when you follow them, you can safety can be enhanced. Okay. Because at the end of the day, I think everybody, even when we say times are difficult, they are hard, we all still want to stay alive. And we must continue to do things that will make us stay alive.
Appropriately. All right. Thank you very much for the clarity. Finally, since we're talking about alcohol beverages and sachets and PET bottles, according to an article on alcohol beverages and sachets, it described it as a death trap for consumers, talking about how harmful it is to the health. But looking at this critically, is putting a ban on these products really a solution? What about if the manufacturers and marketers work on responsible product marketing?
Well, you know, the regulatory environment is very wretched, very poor. Nigeria is a country we wish, I pray that we get to that level.
Amen.
When it is possible that the regulatory agency says, do not this, do this, and people comply. One of my friends would always tell you, people do what you expect, not what you expect.
What you inspect.
So, inspect, that's what you supervise.
Okay, yes, I got
not that. What you expect. Yeah. So, oftentimes, and that's why there's a lot of decadence. That's why the challenges of value migration continue to ravage us very drastically as a people. Now, oftentimes, government has not funded the plethora of its regulatory agencies to carry out the statutory duties you have established them for.
Mm.
And so what you get is that these people cannot carry out a lot of the statutory responsibilities. So you can actually check a lot of the decadence if you outrightly outlaw. Because that way, the number of people you'll be chasing, the number of people you're dealing with will be minimized. But once you allow people to indiscriminately produce all sorts of products, once they release it to distributors, with that value chain of distributor to distributor, from manufacturer to distributor to consumer, is one that is extremely difficult to monitor and evaluate.
True.
Because of the peculiar environment or society that we find ourselves. And that's why most regulators have devised a shortcut to say, look, once you see that there's an abuse potential, outlaw the production sort immediately so that we can reduce the number of players in the value chain that you need to monitor. And I guess that's what this is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for this. And of course, I want to be sure that, but even I myself have been able to get a whole lot of clarity on alcohol itself as a product. And you know, I should also mention that this Nigeria is not the first country that is going to want to put a ban on alcohol in sachets and PET bottles, because we have countries like Kenya, Malawi, Cameroon and Tanzania who have banned this product. Kenya was in 2004, Malawi was in 2015, Cameroon was in 2016, and Tanzania was in 2017. So I hope that, well, definitely this would also help to a very large extent reduce substance abuse in Nigeria. Thank you so much, pharmacist Olumide Akintayo. Thank you for your time and thank you for your contribution and, of course, helping to bring clarity to this particular subject.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
Same here.
All right, sir. Okay, so that is it coming from pharmacist Olumide Akintayo, Nigeria, former president, Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria. And, of course, from a professional angle, he has been able to shed light on what exactly this entails, talking about alcohol and also talking about alcohol in sachets and PET bottles. He said that this alcohol in PET bottles and sachets are low quality, and of course it affects, it ends up affecting the health of consumers. It mentioned the liver and the kidneys, and it says that it contains a very high level of methanol, and methanol is a poisonous substance that affects the consumer's health at the end of the day. And that is why it is very risky. And when I asked if it should really be banned, or we could work on marketers could work on responsible product marketing, and he said something that is of major interest to me, talking about people do what you inspect and not what you expect, because at the end of the day, it might be the opposite of what we want. Okay, well, that is it on the issue of the day for today. And definitely we spoke on the NAFDAC, the move to stop alcoholic drinks in sachets and PET bottles. And we hope that we've been able to bring some light on this particular issue. But that it doesn't end there, because I feel the need to balance this topic. I feel like we need to talk to someone in the brewery segment, and also, you know, just talk to people from different areas, maybe someone from NAFDAC, and let's shed light, let's have more understanding, in-depth understanding on this particular issue. But for today, on the issue of the day, we get to wrap it up here, because time is not on our side, because shortly Spirit of Nigeria Radio is going to be bringing the news to you, and we need to work towards that. Okay, at this point, I get to wrap it up here, and I believe you will beautiful, beautiful music in the meantime before we come back. Stay tuned.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.